Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Alami Podcast, Change Your Company. Today, we're going to talk about careers, and I have with me Randy Roberts, who is an executive and career life coach, a leading actually in this field. I'm very excited about our conversation, and I want to start it by, when you talk about career with executives, with leaders, what's one piece of advice you would give them?
I think one of the most important things is for people to stay connected with what they really want. And it sounds so very basic, but you know, my first career was in pharmaceuticals. I was 30 years working for huge companies. And very often these companies have wonderful, well thought out, they've made huge investments in these development programs for people. And they you know, map out where do you want to be and what are the next steps and this and that. And it's great. However, sometimes then people find themselves following what someone else thinks that they should be doing, as opposed to really staying in touch with what you genuinely want, what fits you at this stage, and then reevaluating it periodically because things change. We change, our life changes, the market changes, that kind of thing. So that's what I would say is don't forget to think about what it is you want and make that the priority.
That's amazing. So in short, staying true to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And staying true to yourself and sticking with it, because who you are will change.
I think when I look back in my own career, and I realize that I drifted in a lot of cases, and I think that's what many people like have or face in their life. And it's a result of so many factors. I think one of them is the temptations, like the promotion, the title,
the money,
right? And the move to a exotic location, to country, specific country or city. So all these kind of, they look exciting. And in a way, our inner voice gets not heard. And then we drift. And that's why at one point we reach a place and we are not sure where we are and what we want.
Yeah, this happens sometimes. And I think it's understandable. Most of us who have had any length of a career have had those moments where, you know, you're doing well and you're getting all the feedback and you're offered something, you know, the shiny object, if you will. And it's important to take a look for how does that fit in the strategic plan you have for your own career. But that's not to say don't ever take a risk or don't go off the path. There are things that come up that make a whole lot of sense. But you have to know what's the lane you want to play in? What's the direction you want your life to take? And make sure that the choices you're making fit within at least most of those categories.
Yeah. I think another challenge maybe people face is that trusting that voice inside. And that's something for us. People ask me like, but what is this voice? Like, how can I know it? This voice is not like another voice. And usually I tell them, well, the more you listen to your curiosity and things which you feel excited about a bit and you go in that direction, the more that voice gets clearer and you can hear it and you can notice like little things which could take you ultimately to the destination that your heart wants.
I like that so much, in following your curiosity. I think that's absolutely true. And look, the reality is many times we don't know what that voice means until later, until we're looking back on it. So we just have to make the best decisions that we can at the time. But one of the things that I think is so important for us is that people get out of their own head and talk it through with someone else. Most of us, you're not in this alone. There's other stakeholders in your life. Either it's the people you're going to be taking with you, your family, It could be trusted friends. It could be a former boss. It's usually not your boss or the person that's making the offer to you because they have an agenda. It might be in your best interest, or at least they think it is, but they have an agenda. I really recommend people talk it over with someone who doesn't have an agenda, who can be a sounding board. Who, you saying the things you're hearing in your mind really help clarify things. So don't feel like you're in it alone. It's not just you and that voice. You need to know whether you can believe that voice.
Yeah. You reminded me when you said don't discuss it with your manager or the person who is offering you that promotion or position. You reminded me of Jeff Bezos when he went and he talked to his boss and he told him, like, I have this idea and I'm resigning. And his boss, he said, you know, let's go for a walk. And they went for a walk. He was like, look, you have a big potential here in the company. So drop this idea about selling books online. Like, it doesn't sound it will get you anywhere.
Yeah. I wonder how many times a week that boss orders things from Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the idea. And I think the more we listen to that voice, the louder it could get, and or at least the more noticeable it would become. And that's the point.
And I think it's important too that you learn, you this is gonna sound funny. You develop a relationship with that voice. Now, that voice sometimes will lie to you, right? We don't have to believe every thought we have. But sometimes, you know, that voice is based on your intuition, your instincts, your desires. And oftentimes you can start to know whether that leads you in the right direction or it leads you to the opportunistic thing that may or may not be aligned. So, you know, with time, we learn from our successes and we learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. And I really believe that voice speak with whispers, and this the language of emotions and curiosity. And the more we trust it in small things, we can trust it in bigger things. But we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So what other advices you would give to leaders when it comes to career and career development?
Well, I mean, leaders are in a really interesting position because they influence, I mean, the work you do with companies, they create an environment and a spirit, if you will, in that company for people to hopefully be very fulfilled and find what they need, because that's when you give your best. But these leaders also have this advice to take for themselves, if you will, because the same thing they're doing for their teams, they need for themselves. So I think leaders, you know, one of the things that's so important is to lead by example. And, you know, many of us have worked for the kind of leader that read a book that said, oh, encourage your people to have good balance in their lives and exercise and go to their children's school play, whatever. So they say these things, but they never do these things. And so I think the leadership by what we do, I mean, that's what culture is. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. So I think for leaders taking those things so seriously for themselves, they deserve it every bit as much as their people. But the things they do will really show their teams what they believe in and what they support. So I think it's so important. I mean, you can probably think about people in your own life that you've worked with or you've read about or whatever that say one thing and do something else. You know, which thing do you pay attention to?
Yeah. Can you look at a couple of cases that you dealt with where you helped some leaders navigate their careers or maybe take some decisions about, you know, moving in certain direction?
Yeah. I mean, I have most of my clients tend to be, not all of them, but many of them are in the corporate world. So they're vice president level. They may be in the C-suite or working there or, you know, in the C-suite of smaller companies even. So many of them have had to take big risks. They've had to leave the place that they knew. They've had to make roll the dice on whether a new opportunity that was really promising was in fact. So I can think of a client that that I worked with not that long ago, chief commercial officer at a smaller company, made the decision to go there to a great extent for family reasons. Like the opportunity looked really good, but for her family, the situation fit much better than the previous situation that she was in. And so it was kind of a journey to work through. She was successful there. There was no question that she was going to be successful there. The question really was this going to be right for her and fit her in a way that she could really bring her best? And it was a bit of a journey because there were some ways that she felt like she was compromising from her previous position and doing it on behalf of her family. And then there's that tug of, wait a minute, I'm doing this because this is my commitment. This is who I am in my life. And yet this has cost me a little bit. So sometimes it's that inner struggle that we work through, and we did. She's doing very, very well, and she's very confident she made the right decision, but it's not always an easy one.
Yeah, and especially in the corporate world, because this is where it gets more challenging for a lot of people, because in that environment you have a lot of opportunities, and sometimes you end up like, again, drifting more and more until one point you see yourself in a place where it's not where you want to be. I mean, for me, for example, when I came from the Middle East to Europe and I joined the head office team, European head office, and I got a role here in the commercial team, and then I got promoted to become the head of that team after being a member of it. But deep down, I knew this is not something I wanted to do, but I ended up like being there for a couple of years, and I had a big crisis, which was the time when I opened my eyes and I'm like, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's interesting because you went through that experience. You took the promotion, I'm sure for very good reasons, with a little bit of doubt in your mind, and then felt like maybe it wasn't where you wanted to be. So did that change how you listened to that voice in the future? Or maybe you haven't encountered that situation.
Well, at that point, I think it wasn't like, there weren't that many options, basically. There was the only option in front of me. But I knew that this is not what I want to do. But still, I took it as a challenge to kind of prove myself, which is also interesting when you look at jobs, right, and careers. The fact that we start to try to prove ourselves, but not necessarily in the place that where we would like to be, right? Yeah. And then it becomes a not interesting game to play anyway, because you're trying to play something which is not your league, not your game.
Yeah, you're playing somebody else's game.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that brings to mind for me a situation when I was with a big pharmaceutical company. And even those of us that, you know, I'm very proud of the career that I built there. You know, lots of success, many promotions. But even in that situation, in huge companies, there's reorganizations, things happen. So there was a time when I was asked to take a lateral move to a job that actually the scale, it was, you know, equivalent from a level standpoint and compensation and everything, but the scope felt smaller to me. And growth has always been very, very important to me and challenge. And so I thought long and hard, you know, the leadership of the company said, we need you and your leadership in this role, and here's why. And I told him I needed, you know, a day or two to think about it. I couldn't give him an answer right away. And what I thought about was, okay, if I know myself and I know that growth and challenge are so important to me, and I'm concerned that this job may not offer that, what is in it for me with that job? I know what I can give to that job. They've told me what they need from me. What is in it for me in terms of growth and development and opportunity in this job? And I really had to get very clear on that in order to feel good about the opportunity, because in some ways I already knew how to do the job. There wasn't enough of a stretch in it for me. So going into it, and it's interesting because what it was the head of a large sales force, excuse me, where previously I'd been managing marketing teams as well. So leading this big sales force, what I thought about was, what's in this for me is the deep one-on-one connections. Previously, it was more speaking to crowds at from a stage or doing town hall meetings or communicating in different ways. I knew that the one-on-one connections here would be really important. And I thought, okay, that's something that I can get out of this role. And I actually think that I did it for about 2 years. I left the company for a variety of reasons, but I actually think it's one of the things that has allowed me to be a very good coach, because now I do group programs and things too, but with my one-on-one clients, that is that deep one-on-one connection, that true listening and understanding the other. And so getting clear on what I could get out of that role so that I could bring everything to that role, not only served me in that at that time, but has served me since.
Interesting, because your example is similar to mine in a way that when look back, that experience helped me a lot to shape my understanding and of the challenges of organizations and leadership and individual within like corporate world, and how to help them to navigate this and to be successful in such an environment, or to be successful in leading their teams, etc. So it as you said at the beginning, when you look back, it makes so much sense. But during that time, of course, you struggle, etc. But if you can capture all these lessons and reflections and experiences and make sense of them, they can make a big difference for your purpose or vision or goal.
Yeah, completely. And it's interesting because my approach, and I take this approach with my clients all the time, it's a very, very business like approach. It's about building a business case. Now, look, I went to business school. I 30 years in the business world. Now I run my own business. But that's the way I think of things, is what's the risk? What's the reward? You know, what investment is this going to take for what payoff? And taking a look at the whole picture. So even if it's a decision about taking a job or not, okay, let me do that risk assessment. I talk to clients about this. You know, what's your financial situation? They don't need to talk to me about numbers, but do they know their financial situation? Do they know how much they need to be making in order to achieve their goals? Do they know what they can do in terms of what they need in terms of cash versus longer term incentives, all those things? So they need to understand that picture so they know what kinds of risks they can take. They also need to know how it fits with their longer term goals, and then just in general, assess the risk, and then also look at their own history. Many of us can take a big risk. When I left corporate, I was worried that if I got bored, I was going to jump at the wrong job. So I set up my own consulting company to keep myself busy in the meantime. And then when I chose to join a company, one of my clients hired me to be chief commercial officer for a smaller startup company. I knew it was a risk because there's never any guarantees. There was no safety net around a company like this. They're investing so much in the clinical data and things. If that product doesn't work, the company wasn't going to work, unlike the big companies that I had worked with. So I knew I was taking a big risk, but it was the first one I had taken along those lines. So in some ways, it didn't feel like a big risk, because if it didn't work, I knew I was doing it for the right reasons. I knew I had the right story to tell about it. Now, if I had tried this twice and the situations didn't work and I was thinking about it again, I might have to think more carefully about that risk assessment. And is that something I could do? Because you don't want to be the Bermuda Triangle of person who takes three big risks and none of them work. At some point, you have to change your program up a little bit. So I think your own history, your own level of risk tolerance, those things are really important to take into account as well.
Yeah. And when you look at someone who wants to become a leader, what kind of advice you would give them in terms of to move into such role?
I think one of the concepts that comes into mind, if you're thinking about taking on bigger leadership roles, there was a book that was written a few years ago. I don't know how many years ago. It's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Because your behavior may need to change. You may have been a subject matter expert that's gotten you to the point that you're at. But when you go to leading a team or taking on a bigger, more strategic role, you've got to delegate. You accomplish much of what you accomplish through others, through being more visionary. So the subject matter expertise may be important, but that's not going to get you to the next level. So I think, you know, some of my advice is to really truly understand the critical success factors in this new level of leadership that you're thinking about, and make sure that you're investing in those skill developments, because nobody's born knowing how to run a company. Nobody's born knowing how to run a huge organization. You know, a lot of us have good instincts and that's helpful, but we learn along the way. So it's important to be really clear on the areas that you need to develop, and don't expect yourself to know everything, you know, on day one. You have people around you, you have consultants, you have books, you have other people's experience, all kinds of things that you can draw on. You are not in this alone. So those are my thoughts.
Great. And people who are in the corporate world, and this is maybe they have the luxury of being having like development plan or opportunities to have discussion around it, etc. But would you agree that it's always important that we take full ownership of that and not delegate it to the company or to the manager?
100%. I completely agree with that, because most of us have been very lucky. We've had wonderful bosses that we really felt had our best interest in mind and all of that. No one can have your interest in mind and know what you want as well as you can. So you have to get good at advocating for yourself is one thing. Know what you want, feel comfortable asking for it, going for it. But you know, even in the best situations, your boss may want what's best for you, but in the end, they've got their own objectives. They've got themselves to worry about, other people on their team to worry about, sometimes competing priorities, that kind of thing. So you need to know what you need. That doesn't mean you're always going to get it now. There may be times that you need to wait, you need to invest, those kinds of things. But yes, no one can be responsible for your own career development and your own fulfillment the way you can. So you got to put yourself on the list. You got to make that important.
Yeah. This has been a great conversation, Randy. Thank you so much for taking the time. I learned from a lot of the insight that you shared, and I'm sure the listeners will get so many insights as well.
Thank you, Fahud. I'm very pleased that you invited me. I've enjoyed it as well.
Thank you. And to all the listeners, thank you so much. And like always, stay inspired and make the biggest impact you could make, not only within your area of responsibility, but beyond it. Bye.